we go. It is Justin. It is Kristen talking on the TardyCast. We're here
with another.
Yeah.
The same. Week, very special guest.
Week four. Can you believe that we got, like, how blessed are we?
We are so blessed.
Usually I don't use, like, those kind of Christianese words, but I feel blessed with a capital B. I feel blessed. Because we got Jimmy Burns with us.
We do.
Talking about sex. This has been so good. I think parents are loving it. And
yeah, it's great information. We've covered some pretty awesome topics to kind of about how to talk to your kid about sex, what a healthy view of sex is, what about porn. And now we're on our fourth subject, is actually digital technology. Obviously, our kids live in a very social media age. A lot of our middle schoolers have Instagram, high schoolers have Instagram, things like that, where it's kind of like they can express themselves on there. And sometimes that does take a turn and come off sexual. And I know for a lot of middle school students, it's really tough because they are looking for attention. They want a place to belong. They want to fit. They want boys to like them. Girls do. And probably vice versa for boys as well. So how would you kind of address some of those situations when they come up, when something maybe a little bit shady or a little inappropriate, a girl, you know, posts a picture in a bikini? How do you address that as a parent?
Well, it sounds like what you're talking about is what we call here at Homeward creating a media safe home. And the truth is it's, you will have to address it when, you know, the girl's wearing a bikini or the guy says something awkward on, you know, on their social media, but you really want to address it ahead of time. And so again, when parents have some boundaries and create this media safe home, there may not be totally popular because the kids are going, well, everybody else gets to do, you know, such and such. So a couple of basics, some people will disagree with me on this. I'm pretty strong on this and I do have people who take me on. But first of all, I think that parents, since they're paying for the cell phones and since they're paying for Wi-Fi and whatnot, should actually have access to the kids' stuff. They should be their friend. And, you know, younger, that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, at a certain age, my kids became, when they were in college, you know, they didn't defriend me because I think they just forgot. So, but what here's a couple of rules. One is, I don't think you, as a parent, you ever make comments on their social media stuff. I don't think you make comments like that's inappropriate, or making comments about their friends' stuff, or befriending their friends' friends and all that kind of good stuff. And too many parents go out of control on that. I think if you're going to have the conversation about the you know, girl in the bikini or whatever, I think you have that conversation quietly. Say, you know, I noticed on your Instagram or, you know, whatever.
What you're saying is that conversation or addressing it is not a public.
No, don't make it
public. Display of conversation.
No. It's just not the way to do that. So, and I found that with our kids, and I still agree with this. Back then, our kids had Facebook. Anybody remember that? It's the third largest country in the world.
Oh my gosh!
That's how big it is and how popular it is. But kids are jumping off of it like crazy, as you guys know. Yeah. But you know why? Because their parents are on it.
Yeah.
But so back in the Facebook days, when our kids were with Facebook, they forgot I was their friend. I looked at their Facebook accounts.
Yeah.
And, you know, there were a few times when I needed to say, dudes, you know, here's the situation. And oftentimes it wasn't about them. Sometimes it was about their friends or whatever. You know, I learned a lot about that. But I think parents, number one, should have that rule that they don't talk about it, but they should be on their stuff. I think we also, as parents, need to be students of the culture. You were talking about earlier, we were talking about sexting or Snapchat.
Yeah.
Snapchat is so popular, and the cutesy little things with butterflies on your head and all that kind of stuff. I mean, that's awesome. But the reason Snapchat was created, and I actually have the email from the creators of Snapchat when they were trying to sell it for multi-millions, which they got, was that they saw it as a sexting device, because kids, and even you were talking about middle schoolers, Kristen, middle schoolers, they don't even know what they're doing. And this happens. They'll sex back and forth. And in their mind, innocent mind, in some ways, they think they're just flirting. But the fact is that you can take a picture of Snapchat. Now, the other person can know that, but they may not be as digitally smart. So now they have a photo, the Snapchat, because Snapchat goes away. But the Snapchat photo doesn't go away. And the world wide web, it's just, stuff is just out there. So part of that is teaching our kids how to be responsible with social media. We didn't have to do that, because our parents, A, didn't know it, and B, it wasn't a part of our growing up, our DNA. I'm talking about parents. You guys are right at the cusp where it was and where it wasn't. You know, Kristen, you know, at your age, and I know your age because, you know, you were a neighbor growing
up. I'm 30.
Yeah. So, you know, like with my kids, they got cell phones, but it was still kind of a new thing. I mean, we didn't have Wi-Fi in our entire house. And they didn't have access in bedrooms and things like that. Today, that's, you know, something you got to deal with. Yeah. So I think parents have to become media savvy. And if a parent is out there and they go, I don't really know this stuff, my kids are a lot better at it, well, then great, have the kids learn. But you got to learn. Mm-hmm. I mean, if a junior hire can learn how to do it, then a parent can do it. We're not sometimes as comfortable or confident. But to do that, we've got to understand that we can look at history and things like that. We need to put in boundaries. And, you know, it would just be like with the car. I mean, hopefully you're not going to just give your kids the keys and go, okay, go for it. Have a great time. You're going to give them boundaries. You're going to teach them. You're going to let them do baby steps first. Well, it's the same with media. If they're winning with social media and it's working for them, fantastic. Mm-hmm. Keep going. If they're being really irresponsible, then you've got to take away some of the privileges until they can become responsible.
I got a specific question. So I have two boys, okay? They... if they grow up to be anything like me, will be very gregarious, very outgoing. They will also have very bad ideas often.
Yeah, we're going to just stop and pray for your boys. Right
we
now.
Really should. They're going to be like little you. Beckett and Cannon. They're such sweethearts, but they're going to grow up to be, oh boy. I got my work cut out for me. So I eventually want to have that conversation of boundaries in I don't even know what it's going to look like when they're older, but a digital conversation. So listen, I want my kids to text other kids. I think that sounds awesome. I want you to be friends on Instagram, Facebook, whatever. I want that. But I want you to know where the line is of when you're talking or when you feel like the conversation is going the wrong way. And the things that are over the line, you know, maybe you wouldn't say it to their face. Like you wouldn't say to a girl typically, hey, could you go in the bathroom and take a photo of yourself and give it to me? But you would over text maybe feel a lot more comfortable just letting the conversation go that way, and it does. So who's the best one to have that conversation? So use my son as the example. Am I the best one as the dad? Is mom the best one to say, you know, hey, when you do this, this is what it's doing to that girl? Yeah. Or, you know, for me to say, hey, you as a man, this is who you need to grow up to be? Mm. Like, how does that?
I think the answer is yes.
Perfect.
Yes, meaning... You just said how a man would talk to a young man. You know, here's how I want you to be, and I want to be that role model for you. Your wife says, here's how you're approaching females. And you guys get on the same page. Mm-hmm. But I don't think it's a one same-sex conversation all the time. I think sometimes some of the finest conversations about sexuality happen between myself and my daughters, but they never came to me to talk about their period. I mean, that was like, gross, no way. So there are certain things they talk to Kathy about. There are certain things that they talk to me about. But mm-hmm. parents need to be on the same page. It has to now become much more intentional. You know, our friend Doug Fields wrote a book called Intentional Parenting. Well, you know, the phrase is intentionality. So now we have to be intentional about teaching our kids. So I don't think we wait until we see disaster. I think we say, you know, when you hand the kid the phone for the first time, you're doing it because of safety. They're thinking it's because of communication with their friends. But you say, here's a phone contract. And you might not use the word with them a contract, but you literally have a contract with them. And again, it's baby steps. So at first, you know, they can't text during school, or they can't, you know, use it even during this. Then you start, you know, they gain responsibility. And so then you do more of it. And that's so again, clearly express your expectations and do it as young as possible. Now, if your kid is 17, and they've already been kind of running wild with it, you know, you're going to have to compromise a little bit and negotiate with them. But that's what life and parenting is all about.
We have parenting contracts or cell phone agreements.
Yeah, we do in the Resources for Parents book.
In the Resources for Parents book. We should put a link on there for this. This will be good.
It sounds awesome. I actually have a question because this is just from personal experience, but then also just to kind of clue our leaders in about how to respond to something like this. But I've had several parents that have come to me very just at a loss of words of what to do because their daughter's Instagrams are a little, you know, dicey, and just saying, I've given up on that conversation. I have no idea what to do. I just kind of can you talk to her about it? Right. So in that situation, what would you advise youth workers
as a leader
say they're the life group leader, they see them on the weekend, the parents saying, hey, can you just help me with this?
Right,
what do we say?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I think it comes better from the parents. And I realize parents have been trying it, it didn't work. But if I was that, if I was a parent, or I was, if I was talking to the parent, you didn't ask me this question, but I'm going to get to it quickly. But I would probably say, first time you see something inappropriate, you have a conversation, and don't, you don't have to go, this is the worst thing, but say, let me help you understand why I think this is dicey, and in our family, that's not going to be appropriate. You still live under my roof. Second time, you've already said that if it happens again, that what I'm going to do is take away your cell phone for the weekend or something kind of minimal, but not huge. Third time, you know, now you're starting to take away other things, but you're telling them ahead of time. So you're making the decision. Now you're going, oh man, I'm sorry. And if they have a problem with it, you say, well, you know, if I was your age, I might feel the same way, but I love these words. Nevertheless, this is how it's going to be. So parents have to take the lead. Okay.
Awesome.
Now they're coming to you because they're desperate and it didn't work. And I get it as a leader. I think leaders can have some of the same types of influence. At the same time, you're not their parent, so it's not like you're going to restrict them. So what you can do is say, you know, here's how I feel about, you know, seeing stuff like that, and I had to come to it, you know, in my own growth. So you're giving them more insight, but you're not the one who's going to do the consequences thing.
Right.
Now you can do that in youth group. If you're a youth group leader and they're doing something, you know, kind of crass in youth group, well then fine, you can put boundaries on them on that. But the big difference is a parent has the ability to give them consequences. You kind of don't really, especially if the parent's saying, just help me out. And it's, you're looking at an Instagram account and you're going, oh geez, that is not a good thing. Then you just, I think you just say, let me tell you why I don't think that's a good thing. And you know, you're not trying to, the problem with those of us in youth ministry is we always want to be their friend, but sometimes we actually have to be their mentor. Mm-hmm. And there's really a difference between being a friend and a mentor. And you can be a mentor and be well-liked and loved and still give them insight, but it's going to be farther and fewer away than what parents have to do.
Awesome.
Okay, so this is going to sound really bad.
Okay.
Okay, so prepare yourself for what I'm about to say.
Okay, I'm ready.
Honestly,
I'm nervous.
You should sit down. All right.
That is coming from Justin. That is scary.
This is going to be really, really serious. But this is a true story, and so I'm going to tell it to both of you.
Okay, go for it.
And we go from there, okay?
We're ready.
All right, so let's talk about sexting. Okay. Flirtatious texting, you know, and then it escalates to sexting where it's graphic photos, the whole deal, okay? Now, in the context of marriage, I'm fine with that, with me and my wife. If that's an okay thing with you and your spouse, like that's an okay thing. Like I have no problem, me and my wife, that's a thing. I feel like I'm giving you guys too much now. But in the confines of a healthy marriage, if that's an okay thing and you guys enjoy each other in that, you know, it's safe and it's healthy, there's nothing sinful about that in the context of a married thing, okay? So talking to Parent A says, you know what, honestly, you can't get pregnant by sexting. So if they're going to sext, it's better than them, you know, doing that than it is like, you know, me and my husband, you know, we sext, but, you know, we can go home and, you know, do our thing. But, you know, for them, like, you know, they're not leaving the house. I'd rather them sexting some guy or girl, because you can't get pregnant by sexting. It's just digital. It's not that big of a deal, because I'd rather have them do that than do the real thing. And like, so what do you say to someone who may downplay the impact of that digital life, that digital persona that they may have in relationships with others, or how they're portraying themselves or what they're doing? And the parent who might say, you know what, that's fine. At least they're not blank, blank, blank.
Yeah.
What would you say?
Well, first of all, I would say do some research, because all research says that if kids are in a sexting relationship, that sexting does lead to promiscuity. So kids who are sexting are much more promiscuous than kids who aren't. So they're wrong. Frankly, science, don't talk about the Bible, don't talk about the other things, just talk about the science. They're absolutely 100% wrong. And you can't, that would be like saying, my wife and I have a physical intimacy and that's great, and so it should be fine for my kids. Two different stories. So what adults do on the digital side and what kids do on the digital side, I mean, frankly, sexting probably does lead to, you know, you're talking about married couples doing that. Well, that probably does lead to more, you know, physical times because that's kind of a most likely a turn on.
Exactly. Okay. His name's Cannon. So
yeah.
You like that one?
That was a good
that
one.
That was way too much information.
Oh my gosh, I'm so
but,
sure.
But anyway, and when you look for your new job someplace, you know, in Kansas, let me know.
There'll be a new co-host next week.
I know
with Kristen.
But again, the point being is that no, they're wrong. They're just simply wrong. So when they say that, you know, they probably have great motives, but they're wrong. That's like saying, I'm going to let my little kids smoke pot because now pot is legal. Well, A, pot is not legal for kids, little kids. And B, you know, some of the concerns that we have about, you know, smoking pot, what's happening in some of the other states, it'll happen in California here, you know, around the corner.
Yeah.
That's of concern. Or if a parent said, I smoked pot when I was in college and it was okay. Well, the pot that their kids are smoking is 5 to 20% stronger. It's often laced with something else. It's not the same pot. Let's talk about, you know, so what I'm saying here when it comes to sex use, you can't, you know, you can't play that game. Just look at the science of it. For example, cohabitation. You know, let's parents say, well, you know, I would rather have them try out the process. Well, the science of cohabitation says that you'll be less likely to have sexual satisfaction in your marriage. Isn't that interesting? If you're cohabitating, yeah. You'll much more chance of adultery and much more chance of divorce. That's not Christian statistics. That's just the world statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So is that a good idea? No, I'd say the same thing. So getting back to our topic of digital, those parents are just simply wrong. So that would be the easy one for me because I'd go, oh no, you guys, you know, here's what it is. They can still agree to disagree with me, but they're playing with fire. That's like parents who, you know, are letting their kids have sleepovers with their boyfriend or their girlfriend thinking, well, you know, at least they're using, you know, the safe sex because they're using, you know, birth control. There's no such thing as casual sex.
Yeah. I mean,
so the parents are making a mistake. Just period.
Have you ever, Kate, talked to a parent? I talk to parents about apps like a lot, like give them like the 101, and you tell them about some apps that exist, and they're just completely
shocked.
Like,
yes,
you can't believe like they're just like, oh my gosh, are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
So there's this app where it's like a calculator, and you know you can use it as a calculator, but you can also just type in a secret code and hit like the plus sign, and then it opens up to like this deal where you can keep all these hidden photos and videos and like other apps and the whole thing. Did you know about that, Kay?
I did not know that.
Oh, you
see,
serious?
I'm shocked. I'm shocked right now.
Oh my gosh, it's a real thing.
I didn't know.
It's a deal. All right, so here's where the question is: do you find it in talking to other parents that because they just didn't have it when they were, I don't know how the question comes off, so this is not dishonoring to parents at all, but because we just didn't have it or they didn't have it when they were growing up, that it's hard to grasp like the depth of it, you know, as they're walking through. Like if for a parent who their kid's just getting to sixth grade or seventh grade, like they're young, when they were kids, there's like, we didn't have this stuff when we were kids. So like, and you know, it's just digital. It's not, but how do you have that conversation where they just don't have the wealth of information?
I think you give them like that. You give them that information. Parents today need that information. Like, you know, the truth is, like I was telling you guys before that Doug Fields and I had lunch today.
Yeah.
And he was teasing me because he was in my youth group and then he was an intern for me. But he was teasing me about writing a book longhand because I wasn't comfortable enough to use a computer in 19. My first book was 1983. So that's, you know, before Kristen was born. When were you born?
Yeah.
I was born in 85.
Yeah. So, you know, you were
before
two.
Her whole, both of us.
Yeah,
are
you were two. Yep. So. No, you were too. That's the opposite. So you weren't born either. That's right.
Yeah, I wasn't.
So anyway, so that just meant I was uncomfortable with the, you know, as the computer started coming in. That doesn't mean that I don't use it now. You know, I mean, I can't even imagine doing life without it.
Oh gosh.
Or doing writing. So, but the point being is that parents, they have to acknowledge that they may not know everything. So that's where we have to become students of the culture. And so that's why they need things like, that's why they need to listen to your podcast. That's why they need to hang out with you guys. I oftentimes say to parents or to youth workers who have younger kids, but they don't have, say, kids in middle school or high school. No, you have a lot to offer parents because parents don't understand culture so well. So we have to get familiar with the culture. Even parents who are listening to this who have younger kids, learn the teen culture, because where the teen culture goes, so goes, you know, their kids eventually.
Yeah.
The guy who invented the founder of MTV, his name is Robert Pittman. And he was a brilliant businessman. He became the CEO of at one time what was called Time Warner AOL. You know, there's all these changes in media. But he said, we didn't create a music culture. We were creating a teen culture. So it wasn't just a music channel. It wasn't about music. We created a teen culture. So there was a season with MTV. It's not, to me, as influential as it used to be. But there was a season where that's what was influencing the culture. The way people dressed on MTV is the way little kids wanted to dress, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So what that means is parents had to become students of the culture. I mean, this parenting thing, you know, we're talking about sex, easy to make babies, little tougher to figure out how to navigate the culture and then how to help our kids navigate the culture. We can't do it blindly.
No. Gosh, you're so...
This is such good information.
Yeah, you're just so dead on. Are there any more books, any more websites, anything we could point at, especially when it comes to culture stuff? I think we could like probably throw some stuff in the show notes. Anything you'd specifically point us to?
Well, there's in the Christian world, I like Adam McLean. You probably know Adam McLean. I don't know if you guys know him or not.
Yeah.
He's written a book on you know, helping parents understand the digital world. I think he did a great job. Jonathan McKee just finished another book on the digital world. And you mentioned Kara Powell because you've interviewed her for this podcast.
Yep.
Kara Powell has some really good stuff on it. I would then also probably start like Homeward. Every Friday, Homeward sends out 7 million e-blasts that have ministry-related things in a year, or over 7 million. Every Friday, we send out something that's free called the Culture Update. It just got the award of one of the top 50 culture updates in the world. So it's like BBC, CNN, you know, it's not, and then there's our little Christian deal.
That's awesome.
But what that says is parents are reading that and going, well, you know, they're learning something. It takes 5 minutes to read or less. But, you know, become students of the culture. Make sure you get those. So go, you know, learn that. I would also go to Walt Mueller's Center for Youth Understanding.
Oh, yeah.
Youth and Parent Understanding, I should call it. And because, again, that way you become a student of some of the, you know, culture type stuff that's going out. There's lots of other things out there, too.
So great. Okay. How good was this? Four weeks.
This was amazing.
Totally worth it. Jim, thank worth you so much.
I love both you guys. You guys are like my heroes, and you're doing it. I mean, I'm a washed out old youth worker who now, you know, talks to parents where I used to spend my time talking to kids. You guys are making a difference, and I know that Kristen moved from your church, and we just happened at Mariners Mission Viejo. We happen to be thrilled that Kristen is now the junior high person. I have a little grandson. I mean, he's only 20 months, so he's got a ways for middle school, but I hope Kristen's around then because I want her influencing, you know, this next generation. So,
how old are you, Kay?
I'm 30.
30? Yeah, I'm 32. We'll be around then.
Yeah,
I haven't even gotten like. I meet these kids sometimes, who it's like, what are you? You're in third grade. I'm like counting the numbers. I'm like
counting the numbers. Like, okay, so
like,
you'll
be
here
around
in 3 years.
Like, I'll be
great.
Seven years. I'm like, I haven't even my stride yet. So, you are so honoring. You are so encouraging to the next generation of youth pastors, and doing things like this is such an encouragement.
Well, anytime.
Thank
great
you.
To be with you.
We'll have you to Mariners sometime to do a parent night on something.
Cool.
And they will benefit from that. And maybe when the book comes out, it'd be so killer. Yeah. We talked last week about the book you're doing is coming out in October. It'd be a perfect time maybe to have you come and do a parent deal, get books, and do the whole thing.
Always fun. Fun to be at my home church.
I love it. Parents, I hope you enjoyed the last 4 weeks talking about sex. Go back, listen to the older episodes if you haven't. He referenced one we did with Kara Powell a long time ago. Go reference that one about sticky faith. It's so good. Parent influences in kids' life. Any last words, Kay?
Lots of good information. Yes, don't be late to leadership.
Dude, we got to make t-shirts with that or stickers.
I know.
It's great. We should work on that. Hey, parents, see you later. TardyCast, we love you. Have a great day.